The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Did you put that last story in just to set me off? Was that your intent?
I just saw it in the Seattle Times, I've got to say.
Okay.
So I kind of...
You have to... I'm sorry. You have to go over some of these details again. So a guy owns an insurance company.
Yeah, in Linwood.
And what's he... What's the name of his insurance company? Do we know?
It's in the Seattle Times. I didn't mention it, but yeah, I believe it's in the Times.
Okay.
But in any case,
because I don't think people should do their insurance there. I'm telling you that right now, based on what I'm hearing in this story.
Okay.
Go to First Mark Insurance. They'll take good care.
Okay. So his name is Ralph Taylor. He's 55 years old.
Right.
Again, like I said, he lives in Linwood, and so he is suing. Now he's suing the federal government and the state, because he applied for minority status and he used one of those DNA ancestry tests,
right?
Which came out, you know, he's lived his life as a white person, but he found out, wait, I'm 90% Caucasian, 6% Indigenous American, and 4% Sub-Saharan.
Okay, so there are, first of all, it's... Jeez. The fact that we have state and federal programs that provide money to people based on not their character, but the color of their skin or whatever.
Well, I think the idea is to be able to like they say, level the playing field. And this has started like several decades ago because many minority-owned businesses found it very hard to crack into the business. So these are having to do with federal transportation contracts.
Yeah, but he's cracked the business. He owns an insurance company.
Correct.
Okay, so he wants... Tax grants, money?
He wants to be eligible for this program that would allow him certain benefits that he feels he can't do as a white guy.
But he is a white guy!
But according to the whole point is, his point, the point he's making is that according to this test, he's not purely white.
But he's lived his whole life as a white guy. Nobody looks at his skin
and discriminates against him. So far, the courts are agreeing with you.
So now this guy is suing. So we're going to spend tax money defending the whatever the system. I'm looking at a picture of him. He's about as white bread a looking man as you can possibly get. Ralph Taylor. This is insane. Why'd you include this? I had a whole good segment all planned out, and now I just want to go off on this.
I honestly told our editor, I need to get this into this next newscast, which is why I didn't quite deliver it in the manner that I wanted. It wasn't quite perfect. wasn't quite ready to go, but I squeezed it in.
I'm just scrolling through this article, and it's got the certificate of ancestry. 0% East Asian, 4% Sub-Saharan African, 6% Indigenous American.
Am I crazy to think that I might want to do one of these tests?
I have zero interest. My kids they've been trying to get me to do it.
It would be really interesting.
Because I think there are a lot of severe question marks about my ancestry. I don't want to get it. I've never really gotten into that, but... I think there are some big time question marks.
You're thinking there might be something more than just the Icelandic part?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure the person I grew up thinking was my dad is. I'm serious.
Okay, that's not okay.
No, that's,
I'm
no.
suddenly serious too.
No,
so,
don't.
Yeah,
don't. Okay. No, I've never talked about this on the air.
You haven't.
No,
this is,
and I probably never
news,
will. In
this
any
is news
detail.
To me.
I'm saying I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know. You've seen my sister and brother.
I have.
Brother's 6'2". Come on. How'd that happen? I'm 5'8".
It does happen. I am 5'8".
Yeah.
My mom's only like 5 feet.
I know. No, it can happen. Okay, anyway, I'm gonna do this. I don't even have time to get into this now. Plus, I don't have time to read the article. But this Ralph Taylor thing, I can almost guarantee you is going to be a topic tomorrow. In fact, let's get him on the show tomorrow, Nicole. I want to get Ralph on. I want to talk to this dude.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to be excited to talk about it with you.
Well, I hope so. He's suing us. He's suing the people so he can get some grant money because he's 4% sub-Saharan African. Yeah, come on, Ralph. Let's chat about this, dude. What else? Oh, what else am I going to do? Oh, did I tell you the big lead things?
No, I'm assuming the first one's a top story.
No.
Okay.
First one's exclusive. Second Great. One's exclusive.
Uh-huh.
Third one is, let's go bizarro.
Sure.
And then trending.
Sure.
Okay. You got the exclusive ready to go?
Sure do, buddy.
Here we go. Right. Hey, with that as mere prelude, let's get right into the big lead.
The big lead, Dory Monson show exclusive.
So a friend and listener who works in Fremont, he sent me a picture that he took this morning. There's an RV just on a street in Fremont, and there's a big piece of plywood leaning against a car that has been spray painted into a message board. Buy drugs here. So we are now openly in Seattle's Fremont neighborhood. We are openly advertising that you can buy drugs in an RV. But, of course, as we talked to Dan Satterberg about yesterday, drugs are now legal as long as it's a gram or less. So I don't know how they could even stop this. Who are they going to prosecute? Now, maybe inside the RV, they have more than a gram, and the police could do something about that? Well, no. Because some of the people who live in that neighborhood, they called the police this morning. 3 hours later, the police came out, they talked to the people in the RV, and then they left. The RV is still there. The sign that is spray painted "Buy drugs here" is still sitting out on the street advertising. As my friend said, maybe their City of Seattle business license checked out. That's a great city. Hey, nice job, Mike O'Brien. Mike O'Brien, you've done a great job with your district in the city.
Do you think the war on drugs was working?
No, what you're doing now, Mike, whoo, that's working. You are working it, baby. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead, Dory Monson show exclusive.
And then also talking about just what's happening on the streets all around this region. I told the story last hour about this horrible crime in Tacoma. 81-year-old woman in her apartment, ground floor apartment, 8 o'clock Sunday morning. Surveillance camera across the street saw a driver in a car and a passenger. Passenger comes, looks in the window of this ground floor apartment. Then he breaks in to this 81-year-old woman's apartment, rips open the top she was sleeping in, exposing her breasts to him, holds a kitchen knife to her throat, and says, "Be quiet or I'll rape you and kill you." And then he grabs her phone and some other stuff, runs out to the car. They drive off. Well, they caught the 27-year-old guy. They're still looking for the driver. But that's what the drug vagrants are doing. They are just doing horrible things. And I had a story 2 hours ago. If you did not hear the interview I had at 12:30, it was just an absolutely heartbreaking conversation. And it was, again, so revealing of what's happening on the streets here. It was with a woman named Candy. And she and her husband, they lost their... I'm just getting some information from... Oh, thank you. Okay. I need to find some audio here. No, it was just an absolutely horrible story. So... she and her husband, they lost a 13-year-old daughter in a car accident back in 2003. They now have a 3-year-old son who's at Seattle Children's awaiting a bone marrow transplant. They live in Lakewood. They are in a hotel close to Children's because they have to stay close by. And on Monday night, Candy just needed to burn off some stress. So she was going for a walk and... then this. And what happened to you on that walk, Candy?
As I was walking, two guys come up from behind me and grabbed me. And they started hitting on me and punching me and stuff, trying to pull me to the ground. I finally fell down. And one gentleman was trying to pull my pants down, while the other gentleman kept hitting me. But thankfully, I was able to get away.
I mean, you know, just like our friend at Golden Gardens, who was training for a marathon last year, and she was brutally attacked, an attempted sexual assault in the restroom. She fought off that attacker. But, I mean, there's a mom who's they're waiting for a bone marrow transplant for their three-year-old boy. And she thinks these were, again, drug homeless vagrants. You presume that they were homeless drug addicts?
They were strung out. They smelled horrible. I mean, I don't know where they came from. I don't know where they went.
So that's on Monday. Then yesterday, their apartment's down in Lakewood. They're putting a new roof on the apartment building, and they got some more news. You found out something about your apartment down in Lakewood?
Yeah, we were getting a new roof, and our bedroom ended up getting flooded because the roof wasn't done yet.
Jeez. And she still keeps an amazingly good attitude.
I feel that he's got us through troubled waters because our enemies can't.
She told me she thinks God is on her side. And I said, man, if it's true what they tell us, that God doesn't give us more than we can handle, I said she must be the most incredibly strong person in the world in God's eyes.
I feel that he's got us through troubled waters because our enemies can't swim. And we'll get through this.
And the reason she shared the story with us on my show is she says, look, the politicians, they have to understand what's going on here.
And, I mean, you're not even safe to walk down the street during the day anymore here. I mean, I'm not from here, and it's not right.
And for the drug vagrants, they don't care what the story is of the people they victimize, whether it's the 81-year-old woman who was robbed, burglarized, threatened with rape down in Tacoma, Candy, who's waiting for a three-year-old boy to see if they can get a bone marrow match. And we got people like every person on the city council, they've let this happen. Jenny Durkin's doing nothing. Seattle police, she filed a police report. But Seattle police have completely depoliced the city. And I mean, the new chief and the mayor can say there's no depolicing going on. They are lying. Every cop knows that there is depolicing in Seattle. And when that happens, the criminals start to take over. And so this is, and my heart just breaks. What this family's gone through, they've lost one child. They're trying to keep another child alive. And here's what the cops told her. What did the cops tell you?
They went and looked around a couple homeless camps, and then they would do some extra patrol. One of the officers brought a bag back, thinking it might have been one that the guys had, but sadly it wasn't, so we don't even know where they went.
And so those guys are still out there, attempted rapists on the streets, broad daylight in Seattle, Tacoma, an 81-year-old woman, sexually assaulted. But we're depolicing. We can't be bothered. We can't crack down. Can't do anything about it, right? Every other city does a better job of it, except here in Seattle. Well, the other far-left cities, San Francisco, Los Angeles, they're not doing a very good job either. I was just down in San Diego, which is a relatively conservative city, about 3 weeks ago. You don't see this down there, not anywhere near the extent you do here. And their message is fight, fight, because she fought them off. Fight with everything you have. What did you do?
I stayed moving. I was kicking and moving my arms and just not letting them get what they wanted. If you stay still, you're more of a victim. You've got to fight these people here.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We got to fight them because we're not getting much help from the worst city council imaginable. And, I know Dan Satterberg came on my show yesterday, and I still vehemently disagree with him about legalizing drugs, all drugs, heroin, meth, if it's less than a gram. They are not going to prosecute. They have now announced. You don't think that we're attracting the druggies from all around the country here? Sally Dime Bagshaw? Wanted to look into the taxpayers buying heroin for the addicts? You don't think we're attracting them from all around? What? The path we're on is not working. You have people on the city council, here in Seattle in particular, who have enabled this and encouraged this, have seen this as a means to a larger government end. Oh, but they got some developer buddies. They're going to build low-income housing, and that'll start getting us out of this, right? I'm sure the developer buddies are taking care of their politician buddies, because there's no way anybody in their right mind can think that the policies they are embracing are for the people, for us. It's just a big scam. It's big. We're the marks in this big grifting game. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead, big local.
Yeah. And how about this story? The basketball coach up in Bellingham. You hear about this? There's a semi-professional basketball team called the Bellingham Slam. And they had a game a few months ago at Seattle Pacific University. And two of the players on this team contacted police because they thought they were being video recorded while showering after the game at SPU. And it turns out the investigation led to their assistant basketball coach on that team, on the Bellingham Slam. He was recording his players in the shower, they believe. That's what the police document said. The suspect, Kip Leonetti, an assistant coach on the team's website, an employee of Western Washington University's Student Recreation Center. He'd been interviewed by police and placed on administrative leave just a few days ago. They did an analysis of his cell phone, and that confirmed seeing the images of the guys showering. Kip Leonetti will not be prosecuted for this alleged crime. He killed himself in a Spokane hotel room yesterday. That is the big lead.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Yeah! And with that, I start with that ridiculous story Ursula had about that guy trying to say, give me stuff because I took a test. And I'm not all white. We're insane. We are in Bizarroville. I'm telling you. Awesome audio's coming up next.
Rudy's on a train of nowhere. Halfway down the line.
Since you and I are on such a super tramp jag, Sean.
Yes.
Now I'm getting emails from the local Supertramp cover band, Pseudotramp.
That's what they're called. Yeah, I love
it. That's one of the great names.
Pseudotramp, yeah.
Pseudotramp. You want me to come out to a show.
Wow, can I come with you?
Absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely. So I've asked for a schedule of upcoming gigs.
Pseudotramp is almost the best name. There's also Nearly Dan.
Yeah.
Which is a cover band, which is great.
They're very good friends of mine.
Really?
Yeah, the lead singer's a really good friend of mine.
They're awesome.
Yeah. With that, it's mere prelude. He needs a time let's listen for a few more seconds.
He needs time for someone just to see him. He ain't had no love yet.
How can you not enjoy that? Cry it out loud. And when I saw them do this song live at the Seattle Center Coliseum in like 79 or 80, they had a big screen, and Rudy got on a train and went speeding around.
That's awesome.
Great visual effect. It was awesome. Okay, now with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Oh man, this president of ours, that Donald Trump guy, you know, he I don't know if you heard, he won the presidency about a year and a half ago. He's just exasperating. So yesterday, he awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, and he had a lot of former Medal of Honor recipients there in the White House. And that's when he, of course, had to make his kind words about him.
Number three.
The Congressional Medal of Honor is the supreme symbol of American courage. It is the ultimate tribute to American valor. You are the strongest, the bravest, and the finest among us. See, my ego's not that big. I admit it. I admit it. Okay, right, General? I admit it.
That's really annoying. That's incredibly annoying.
The room seemed to be okay with it, though.
Yeah, I know. I know it. Still. Yeah, I was thinking about this yesterday. I saw a study. Okay, I got to make sure. Okay, I'm calculating. Yeah, I got time. So I saw a study that 14,000 college freshmen, and according to this new study, I'll try to get into it a little more tomorrow, but they said that they now believe that one out of three college freshmen have a diagnosable mental illness, which sounds on the surface ridiculous. But if it's true, and I don't know if it's true, but if it's true, why is it true? Well, we've been raising our kids in such a screwed up way for so many years. And I think the reason, especially like people in that age group, colleges, millennials, why they despise Trump with every fiber of their being. You know, I think sound bites like that are just incredibly annoying. But I also think our economy's great. And for most people, you know, national security and economy. I think he's been okay on that. Except, I said it yesterday, our deficit's way too high. And if the deficit doesn't start coming down, then Trump's building the economy just on borrowed money. And that's never acceptable because our burden's way too high. Having said all that, but as far as how the lives of those individuals is being affected by Trump, it's not really. They're just filled with hatred. And I talk with passion on the radio for 3 hours a day. Off the air, I'm actually kind of a quiet, nice guy. I know that might be hard to believe, but I really am. But I have this, you know, outlet. I don't talk politics off the air. I don't think about it. I'm not consumed with it. I'm not filled with any kind of rage and hate. I find it so sad that so many people have such a gigantic void in their lives that they fill it with hatred for a man who really hasn't affected them at all, except made the economic conditions much better. You know, middle class income is the highest it's ever been in the history of the country. Unemployment is, we're statistically at full employment. More jobs available out there than people who are looking for work. And in how he has really affected individuals' lives, it's probably helped 90% of the people, 95% of the people who are filled with such hatred and rage. But man, it's got to be sad if you have such a huge gaping void in your life and you decide to fill it with, I'm going to sit on my keyboard and I'm going to retweet Trump memes and hatred. I'm going to send things. It's just, it's awful. It's just awful. That's how so many people are living their lives. So maybe we do have that many people with diagnosable mental illness. Okay, I talked too long. I'm going to jump to number one here, Sean. Roseanne, you know, she has some rage too, but hers was all Ambien induced. Oh, you've heard my Ambien story. So Roseanne, she was on with Dr. Oz, and she talked about, because she lost the number one network television show in America because of the ridiculous things she tweeted out. And she blamed it on Ambien, and she's still blaming everything on Ambien.
Number one.
Well, I've done some weird things on Ambien. I think a lot of people have, too. I've heard from thousands of people about it. One guy got up and cooked a turkey and ate it. So that was like 4 hours, if you think about it, and didn't remember it in the morning. And all the time that happens to me when I go up in the kitchen and there's a whole box of Triscuits laid out and eggs cracked on the wall. Cheese everywhere. I Ambien eat, like Tiger Woods Ambien drove. It's a weird drug.
I've been goofy on it before. You've heard that. Okay, that is our favorite sound bites of the day.
Those are Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day on 97.3 Cairo FM.
And our awesome audio is brought to you by our buddies at Brown Bear Car Wash. Today's sign is next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, we still got a lot more to do with today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is Near.
Oh, many on the left hate. Hate the U.S. flag. And sometimes it manifests itself in really disgusting actions. Police are on the hunt in Massachusetts for a man and a woman who tore flags from the ground at grave sites at the Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Somerville. They had some surveillance video, and they saw these two ripping the flags out of the ground. Then they threw them on the ground. And then, here's WBZ in Boston.
I'd like to see him be arrested.
Police calling it a desecration of a local World War II memorial.
I was outraged. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
George Cattini says he saw a man pull four small flags out of the ground and then...
He started undoing his pants, taking himself out, and making motions and what appeared to be urinating.
He says the guy urinated right on the flags, so George confronted him.
I started yelling and screaming, drawing attention. What are you doing? What are you doing here? As he walked by me, he had a smirk on his face, almost like, there's nothing you can do. What are you going to do?
The confrontation also witnessed by another man with two friends buried here.
Total lack of respect for it. It's a cemetery. People sacrifice their lives for their country, and they're buried here.
Somerville's mayor says if these allegations are true, they are offensive not only to our community and our own veterans, but to our entire nation and those who served and continue to serve.
They were laughing and walking slowly and thought it was a joke.
It's not a joke to Somerville police. They're asking anybody who knows who this man is to contact them.
Hey, they're social justice warriors. Come on. You can't urinate on the American flag. Once they are identified, they'll be heroes. They'll be heroes in the social justice community. Today's sign story number two, your tax dollars at work. Let's go down to Oregon, where a street person took his food stamps purchased with taxpayer money. He took his food stamps and went into a Walmart down in Springfield, Oregon. And there he bought some cases of water, three cases of water. He had them in a shopping cart. And then I see all of this on, again, on a surveillance video that I watched. So he comes out of the Walmart, three cases of water in his shopping cart. He unscrews the lids and starts dumping all of the water in the parking lot. He's a known drug addict, according to the police down there. The reason he dumped all of the water in the parking lot, because in Oregon, they have a 10% deposit return on almost all drinkable items. And so, when you have a case of water, 36 bottles in it, or 24, it was 24 in the case, he could take them back in, the empty bottles, and get $2.40 for the three cases. That adds up to $7.20. So, he could then go buy drugs with it. With the food stamp money that the taxpayers provided. He didn't even dump their plants right next to it. He didn't even dump the water on the plants. He's dumping it on the concrete or the asphalt in the parking lot. So he could get the bottle return money to go buy drugs. Don't you love the way our tax dollars get allocated? Don't you love the fact that we get to work hard so people like that can dump water in a parking lot? And finally, in today's time, I can't end on stuff like that. I need something that's always guaranteed to put me in a good mood. And that's what Jimmy Buffett music does. Makes me change my latitude a little bit. Makes me change my attitude just a little bit. And I'm telling you something right now. If your last name is Buffett, are you just guaranteed to become an unbelievable financial success? Warren Buffett, of course, one of the richest men on the planet. Jimmy Buffett is close to, and maybe by now is, a billionaire, largely built on one song, Margaritaville, which he turns into a chain of restaurants. He now has a retirement, Margaritaville retirement village down in Florida. And now the economic giant that is Jimmy Buffett is branching out once again. You know the name of his band, the Coral Reefer Band. So I guess it's not surprising to see Jimmy Buffett get into the weed business now. He and a billionaire heir of the Wrigley chewing gum fortune, they have banded together to license the Coral Reefer brand to a big medical marijuana company. They're going to make tens of millions of dollars, according to analysts, right off the bat, but it could eventually be another billion-dollar business. I'm telling you, everything Jimmy Buffett touches turns to absolute gold. I don't know if he's that brilliant or if he's just surrounded himself with absolutely brilliant people, but he seems to have a good life, too. He seems to be a happy guy. He's got the most passionate fans you can possibly imagine. Bless his heart. So all of that is today's sign, the end is near. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But I'm going to go home and think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's Friday extravaganza. Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll will spend a half hour with us between 12:30 and 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So we'll look forward to talking with the coach. We'll look forward to having you along for the ride as well. Ron and Don Show's coming up next. And I will see you back here tomorrow. I know. I know. We would go insane. We couldn't laugh. We just would go insane. We weren't all crazy. We would go insane.
This show is truly good for nothing.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.